Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things.
Amen.
Years ago, a new member came into my office. It's in a previous parish, so none of you need to feel convicted. Came into my office and asked me, "So what is it that you expect? What do you expect of me? What should my faith look like?" I was a little flummoxed by the question. It's not one that people usually ask. And I said, "Well, tell me a little more about what you're looking for." And he said, "Well, I came from this very strong evangelical background, and they told me what I was to believe. They told me what I was to give. They told me what I was to think and how I was to behave." And I said, "Well, brother, you have come to the wrong place." It's not that there's anything wrong necessarily with that kind of faith. It just was so out of touch with anything that I understood or had experienced, or my understanding of God's grace and hope and worship. And so we talked. We had a kind of Nicodemus conversation about God and expectations. This story with this very familiar verse that everyone knows, "For God so loved the world that God gave His only Son, that not all should be condemned but should live." Wow, we see it all the time. Less so now. Something, I guess, has gone out of vogue at football games to hold up the signs with John 3:16. Maybe we should bring it back. I don't know. But that verse, that very famous verse, which some folks have said sort of defines the entire gospel message, is set within a particular book and within a particular story. The world view of the people that Gospel of John was written for, the beloved community, had a kind of sense of a two-tiered world, where there are those who were of the world and those who were of the Spirit. And they, at least at one level, hoped that they would be of the Spirit. And so, knowing that, you begin to see why Nicodemus' questions make a little more sense. "Jesus, to which world do I belong? I'm a Pharisee. And yet I see in you something that I didn't expect. And so I come to you at night because I want to know more. Tell me more." And Jesus does. Now, it's dangerous to take this story and just sort of import it into our modern world. We don't have really the same worldview anymore. At least not most of us. There are still plenty of folks in the world who have a sense that there are those who have been saved and who are part of the spiritual world, and you know who you are. And there's the rest of us, and we know who we are. The saving word and life of Jesus is more complex than just separating sheep and goats in a kind of theological game of checkers. By being set in the story about Nicodemus, we get a little glimpse of what the love of God looks like. And it happens in that verse that's so famous. Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus, is having a conversation with us. What does it mean to be born from above? I think there's a more difficult and more interesting question to be asked these days in our modern world.
What does it mean to live as if you are from above?
That little text on Abraham about birthright and to whom do we belong and you know, to what do we deserve and have we earned our salvation? That's a question that occupies a number of Christian traditions' minds pretty heavily. But maybe we need a different question and a different answer these days. Very truly, he says, we speak of what we know and testify to what we've seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things, that place where we all live, that world, and you don't believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Maybe that's the question that's facing us in these days. And it's an exciting question. What does it mean for us to live as if we have been born of the Spirit? I love that moment of creativity and excitement when Jesus describes the wind blows where it chooses and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes or where it goes. Maybe part of our challenge is that we keep thinking we know where we're going. And in doing so, maybe we forget to allow for the Spirit to blow us off course. Or maybe on course. When Jesus says those words, "For God so loved the world that God gave us the Son, the only begotten one, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life," we get a glimpse of what God's love looks like for us. For God so loved the world, and the word there is cosmos. The whole cosmos. God loves the whole cosmos so much that God gave God's Son. If that is true, then it turns out that we're not just in that heavenly club. It's not just us in there. It turns out the whole cosmos has been embraced with God's love and care and sacrifice. And we are called as the whole cosmos to live into that love. And from that come heavenly things. Compassion, care, generosity, sacrifice for the neighbor, vision, experimentation, trying something new, something not stuck. All of these things, this whole sense of being blown off course by the Spirit and free to do so, for God has so loved the world, the cosmos, that God sent us Jesus. Not to condemn us. Not to remind us at every turn that we're not quite right, not quite good enough. I already know that. But to remind us again and again that it is God's love and peace that will lift us up on God's wings, that we might find hope and peace and the cosmos remade, rejoined, full of God. Amen. Our worship continues this morning. It's with the hymn of the day. It's number 321 in the ELW.